Hey everyone, you're listening to the official podcast of 4playernetwork.com. Check us out at that address for everything you need to know about our community, monthly giveaways, and nightly live streams. You can even support us on Patreon at patreon.com/4player. And last but not least, you can catch the live recordings of these podcasts every single Thursday night on our Twitch channel. We hope to see you there. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome to 4Player Plus, I guess we'll call this. This is a special bonus podcast. My name is Nick Henderson. I am joined, of course, this evening by Ed Mitchell.
Hello.
Esteemed gamer, podcaster, web developer over here at 4playernetwork.com. We don't get to have you on super often, but thank you for being here, Ed.
Well, you guys all abandoned me to be solo Ed at PAX this year, so...
Yeah,
this
I know.
A good opportunity.
I was really rather bummed that I didn't get to go to PAX this year, but we're glad somebody did. So we're going to be talking to Ed here in a moment because he played a bunch of stuff over at PAX. We wanted to have an opportunity to talk to him about those things. But also joining us this evening is Crispy.
Hey.
Crispy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. What's going on?
Not much. I do want to just quickly, before we get too far into it, we're going to be spending about an hour talking about some of the games that Ed played at PAX, some pretty big stuff, if I remember correctly, as
yep.
well. We are planning on, we do have a Patreon. I thought this would be a great opportunity to remind everybody that one of the goals that we're working towards on Patreon is actually a monthly bonus podcast, which we'll do exclusively in like an online format, kind of like this. There may be alcohol involved and
cheers.
Video game talk and all kinds. Yes, cheers. Where's my camera? I'm drinking a beer as well.
You can't see it, but I'm cheersing my martini.
Are you? Oh, shit. See, the fact that we actually can't see Crispy on this cast, he could say anything, and we would have no idea.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? Oh, it's so delicious.
Don't rat him out.
Very
beautiful.
Dry.
But yeah, let's just jump right into it. We have a lot of games that we want to talk to you about, so I'm going to just kind of let you... talk about what you want to talk about, and we'll just ask questions.
Cool. Sounds good.
We didn't actually get to see any of them ourselves.
Yeah. Okay, so the first game that I played was called Lost Sphere. If you guys remember, I Am Setsuna.
Yes.
And the game is basically I Am Setsuna. The combat system is very similar, but it adds this kind of twist of you basically rebuild the world as you like discover different areas. Have you guys ever played Dragon Quest VII? It's very Dragon Quest VII, where you like are basically like exploring areas, discovering memories, and then rebuilding the world from it.
I've only ever played Dragon Quest VIII.
Okay, so
that, I'm pretty sure that is completely absent from that game.
Yeah. So, basically, you're just going around to different cities and you're fighting monsters and you're exploring areas. And as you unlock different like memories of the past, you basically unlock new pieces of the map.
So it sounds a little bit like it's borrowing from Dark Cloud, maybe?
Maybe.
Or at least drawing some inspiration from it?
They have, like, these extra, like, little suit things that allow you to, like, basically kind of almost Zelda-like, where once you unlock them, you get access to different parts of the world, too, so you can, like, crash through rocks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it seems kind of neat. I mean, it's I Am Setsuna, it's going to...
It's the same developer, right?
Mm-hmm.
As I Am Setsuna?
Yep. Yeah, and the Octopath Traveler people as well.
Is it getting a physical edition?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yep. So, but you can only order it from the Square Enix store, so...
Of course.
Go for it, Nick.
and on top of that, they're going to probably make you pay the Switch tax?
Oh, yeah. But it's cool. I didn't get to play it for very long because I kind of wanted to move along. It was very the piece that I was playing was very RPG, but I'm probably going to get in and play it because I liked I Am Setsuna.
Yeah, pretty. I mean, I like I Am Setsuna a lot too, except for the fact that it was like super traditional.
Yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing, but like there wasn't really anything distinguishing.
It was traditional, like vanilla is traditional.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
It was vanilla RPG. This looks like it at least has a little bit of maybe some sprinkles, some rainbow sprinkles. If we're going to carry that analogy.
After Square, I kind of walked around Square. I saw that they had like the new Life is Strange chapter there.
Are you flying that?
Am I what?
Are you playing that right now? You're talking about Before the Storm, right?
Yeah, Before the Storm. I haven't played it yet, but it looked interesting, but I also knew it was like coming out like that day or something like that, so I figured like it's not a big thing to watch.
Not worth your time.
But next thing I watched or I played was Shadow of War.
Oh man.
Unfortunately this is like super pixely, but I just need another screen in order to do all this. But I was really bad at playing this demo because I forgot the controls like completely, and I had the guy like came over and he like showed me how to play, and he's like, oh yeah, you press like a left bumper and Y in order to like take control of the guy's brain or something like that. And I played the original, I just did not remember the controls at all, so I'm hoping that there's like there's probably going to be a nice tutorial section.
I would certainly hope so.
The part that I played was this part, which is like a like siege, basically, and you are essentially have a big army at your back, and you're all like just taking over this giant tower. And this guy that you see on the screen right now is literally, his name is like the battering ram, and he basically like throws himself into the door enough that the door breaks.
Huh.
It's so yeah,
and cut off in the most violent way possible. That was awesome.
Yeah.
So I have a thought about this game.
Mm-hmm.
One, I'm very, very torn about it because
because of all the controversy.
Because of the controversy around, are they still sticking to their guns with the whole online connectivity required thing? That's the last I heard of it. But also, it's just kind of like the focus of the game seems to be let's make it bigger and like more action oriented, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's the direction.
Well, what did you like about the first game? Because I liked being able to walk around and find people that are like your enemies. And the guy that I killed at the very beginning of this thing used to be on your army, but he like, I guess you left him for dead or something like that. So he turned course and went, and now he was like the captain of the guard of this like fortress, right? So those pieces of Shadow of Mordor, which I like so much, are still there.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're beefing up the Nemesis system and making mm-hmm. it play into like these giant sieges, which is cool. It's not that I haven't seen them really talk about much of anything outside of these huge battles.
Yeah,
and, like
yeah.
I want to explore more of like Lord of the Rings universe as an open world, and I don't see a lot of that being talked up, or which I guess makes sense because this is kind of like a huge set piece. It's good for marketing and that kind of thing. But
actually, I've heard from another podcast that like a lot of the, if you're like a, like even just a basic Lord of the Rings fan, you'll get a lot more of references in this game than the last one, versus like last one you had to pretty much know the Silmarillion in order to kind of get a full appreciation of what it was trying to do with the story. That's just something to mention. I mean, I'm going to play this game. I actually already pre-ordered it because there was
I'm excited to play.
A 35% code on Green Man Gaming, so I was like, getting that.
For sure.
Crispy, are you
I'm excited. Yes, I'm excited. Of course I'm excited. Look at it. It's Lord of the Rings fantasy. And the first one was like the best Lord of the Rings game that's come out.
Right.
That is true.
A long time. Like in a while.
Yeah.
For like two generations, maybe.
I mean, it suffered from a little bit of the you know, first game in a series syndrome where it's a little monotonous.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm. Now, I mean, the thing I'm not crazy about this game is that it's a WB game, and I mean, I just, yeah. I mean, a lot of the problems that people have had with this game marketing-wise, like a lot of online connectivity, you know, the like kind of weird, questionable DLC that they did, like.
Yeah,
I mean that stuff seems kind of endemic to, like big AAA gaming, especially companies like WB. Like mm-hmm. I kind of see like how they were taking the Batman series and like where some of those ideas have kind of morphed into even bigger ideas for these games for like how to market and make more money off of them. You know?
Yeah.
And that sucks, but. If this game, I don't know. I mean, if this game is a marginal improvement over the first game, that'll be cool. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's what I want, but that's what I'm bracing myself for.
Yeah, you know? No, that's a good way of putting it. I'm just really, really pissed off about the whole online connectivity thing. I don't think there's really any logical excuse for it. I feel like they're talking about it in PR, and I'm expecting them to give the Don Matrick excuse. It's like, we have a product for people without an internet connection. It's called
Shadow Order.
Waiting for that shit to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how much it actually, like, even...
He's taking over a dragon right now. Like, just letting you guys know.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, look at this. this is cool. But, like, how contextual is this versus, like, could he just fly that dragon away? And just, like...
What if you could just get on the dragon and be like, fuck this battle, and just fly away?
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool.
I mean...
But I have a feeling like, it keeps you.
Maybe.
I feel like the game wouldn't know what to do with it if you, like, flew away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so, I feel like you're always about to bump into a border, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, anyway.
What happens? If you fly away, does the fighting just stop? Everyone just stop and put down their weapons? Like, well,
yeah, I don't know.
Just a bunch of orcs killing orcs. Who even cares?
Yeah. All right.
We'll find out soon. This is next month. So yeah.
The next game I played a real quick demo of was Knack 2.
God damn it.
So I will say that this game is pretty cool. It doesn't have the trappings of Knack, though, because for one thing, it has drop-in, drop-out co-op. So anytime I would say that, like, this is a game that me and my wife would sit down and play. And it has, like, solid platforming. That was one of the things that was kind of seemed like it was missing. Like, all Knack 1 had was just basically action and fighting and stuff like that. So there's some solid platforming, some cool little tools and stuff like that. And I don't know. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I didn't play it. I was playing it by myself for a little bit, and then the PlayStation guy, like, came over and was just like, here, let me join you. And he pressed start, and he was in the game with me. So
he's been practicing that for a while.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, let me join you. Look how easy it is.
So, it was cool. It was fun.
I've actually been hearing some good things about it. So.
But the highlight of the PlayStation booth for me was the Detroit demo.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the highlight for me. I was like, what?
No,
Was this demo different than the one that they were doing at E3?
I don't think so. It was the negotiator one, right? Yeah.
Crispy, did you play it at E3? I didn't.
I did not, but I kind of tried to watch other people.
Yeah. So the first thing you do when you walk in this room is you basically are given a timer that you can't see. And at a certain point, like, if you do not go outside to meet with the guy, he'll kill the girl.
He just kills
me. Yeah. So, like, you're trying to work as fast as you can to gather as much information as you can to kind of increase your odds of the girl surviving. And so, as you can see, I don't know if you saw right there, but it said 58% chance right now.
Oh, okay.
And so you're basically, like, trying to figure out what his name was, so you get a little extra chance. You try to figure out, like, what the situation was. And then once you go outside, you use that information kind of like Life is Strange in a way where you're kind of like, you know it more information, so you're able to kind of help the situation a little bit. It unlocks more options and stuff, yeah.
So just for people who may not be aware, you know, this may not be the most well-known game. This is the David Cage Quantic Dream game. This is the one that the most impressive trailer I think they've shown is kind of the scene right here where he's trying to top down this. This is all about androids, right?
Yeah, you would know. You sound like an android.
Yeah. But, you know, you play... I guess, do you switch characters in this game?
Yes, I think you do. Because I've seen multiple vignettes of different characters.
But it's all about the relationship and like, the humans living alongside androids.
Right. It's about like, the social politics of humans and androids without really getting into the social politics of the relationship between humans.
Yeah. but it really was cool. I mean, it was you guys remember what was that game with the facial, like, animations that you kind of, like, read? L.A. Noire.
Oh,
it was kind of L.A. Noire where you, like, had a crime scene that you had to investigate, and actually you doing more investigation kind of helps you solve the problem better.
Honestly, I feel like games these days Like, one of the most exciting aspects of any game these days is, like, anytime the developer tries to implement some kind of, like, investigation mechanic,
yeah, mm-hmm.
I love seeing the different ways that developers try to tackle that.
It was cool. The main mechanic of the investigation is you're, like, forwarding and rewinding time, basically.
Yeah.
And then you get to a certain point where something, like, eventful happened. And so you essentially, like... watch what happened at that moment, and then so like depending on where you're looking, there's like one or two important moments that you have to like replay in your mind, and you do that by like scrubbing through, basically rewinding or fast forwarding.
There's something super satisfying about scrubbing.
Yeah. That was Detroit.
But it is David Cage, so I have to go into a certain amount of skepticism.
Yeah, the controls were a little clunky. If you know David Cage game, but
I'm more referring to David Cage's propensity for like just
overpromising,
like super ridiculous in like not a good way towards the end of their games.
Yeah,
I think Heavy Rain actually managed to stay fairly grounded for the most part. It was in the end, it was just kind of a actual like murder mystery investigation story. It didn't turn out to be fucking aliens at the end. Spoiler alert, sorry, no alien in Heavy Rain. But I like it when they stay more grounded.
Yep.
Or at least if they're gonna do something crazy like that, at least start out crazy. Kind of like what they did with Beyond. That game started out crazy, so I don't think it's as much of a stretch that by the end of that game it was crazy.
Right.
Nick doesn't like surprises.
I don't like surprises. I like to know exactly what I'm getting myself into.
Oh shit, it's the hardest game ever made.
Oh my gosh, this game is hard. So right after Detroit, I walked over to Cuphead and played a little bit of Cuphead.
Why does that woodpecker have four eyes? Oh my god.
And then you just decided to say, fuck it, I can't play video games.
This game is incredibly difficult. Like,
guys, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can play Cuphead.
I really didn't... I wish that the bosses had, like, health bars, so you could, like...
That's a penis, by the way.
Yeah.
That is a redheaded penis.
So you could, like, see your progress that you're making, because all I felt like I was doing was just snapping my fingers, and occasionally the boss would transition to a new phase.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know. I think it would be, it's cool if you like hard games, I guess.
No, see, I feel like I would play this solely because I want to see how much of this, like, how far they take this style. I'm like,
it's beautiful. It's, so they changed it a little bit. There's like a world map, and you walk between, it's on Steam too, Gamerbeck, Steam and Windows Store and Xbox One, but, you basically walk between different bosses.
Yeah.
Not quite Titan Souls-y, but to the point where, like,
you brought up Titan Souls.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that to be a comparison. I love
Titan Souls. That's what this originally was just a straight boss rush.
Really? I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it was even more so, like, more than Titan Souls. Like, Titan Souls, you had a little world that you walked around in. This is more like Super Mario World kind of style, or that kind of thing, where you're basically walking from point to point. And
but
then
each point is just a boss fight.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought there was platforming in between.
No, they added platforming when people were like, it's just a boss rush?
Yeah. So I think that some levels might have a little bit more platform than the other. The only two I played were both bosses.
Boss, yeah.
So
yeah,
it was cool.
It looks dope as hell.
Yeah,
I'm gonna kind of wait and see how many people want to just die after playing this game before I try it myself. I'm fully prepared to just be like, nope, I'm good.
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
This is the good stuff. These next three games are the good things.
Okay. Let me just say, I'm so fucking excited.
I know.
Evil Within 2 is going to be so good.
So after Evil Within 2 was announced at E3, I was like, I want to play Evil Within. So I played on the stream, and I finished it a couple weeks ago, right?
I saw that.
And it was right before I went to PAX. And so as soon as I got that email, I was like, I am playing Evil Within 2. And so...
this wasn't even playable at E3.
Yeah, I know.
This,
Yeah.
Everything at E3 was hands off. In fact, it wasn't even like their booth was just like a take a tour through this weird trippy like art gallery.
It was some Bethesda bullshit.
Yeah, it was.
So that's what I'm used to at PAX is Bethesda bullshit. But this year they happen to have three games, or actually more than three games, but three games you can make appointments for.
Yeah, the thing is, like, Bethesda's lineups are always, historically, the past few years have been really good. It's just their presentation at these shows has
been... Yeah, like, last year I expected Dishonored 2 to be at PAX.
I don't think that was ever demoed.
Like, no, it wasn't.
I don't think anybody ever got their hands on that.
And so, Evil Within 2, you start out in Chapter 2, so just past the point where there's an intro.
Probably because some crazy shit happens. They don't want you to know.
Yeah,
about.
Exactly. And actually, in this demo, a little bit of crazy shit happens. You get teleported shit. And moved around, and there is a semi-spoiler that I won't really talk about, but I mean, it's not like it's in chapter two, but basically, like, there's a very important character from the previous Evil Within that you think is dead but isn't. Very important to the main character. Let me put it that way.
I think I know who you're talking about.
So this game is about going after that person.
I don't even know if that's necessarily a spoiler, because everything that I've read about this game, you get two sentences preview.
Okay.
It's about him doing this.
Yeah, so I won't say it, but basically that's the goal of you doing this. And you talk with the girl from the last game, she's on the radio.
Yeah, but you know what? She's not played by Jennifer Carpenter anymore. Fuck that.
The voice acting was still good. I did not recognize a difference in the voice actress. So
that's fine. I'm just bummed because I
yeah
yeah I like that actress.
But yeah, it was Evil Within through and through. There was not as many, like, at least in that chapter, like, there was a little bit of jump scariness, but most of it was just kind of like the build up of. That you know from Evil Within, where, like, you're basically introduced to something, and then you get slower and slower to that point.
My question for you:
yeah.
Did you see any hints of like of open endedness, like open, like an open areas or anything like that?
Not really. The point of the chapter that they started you out with, it was just like you. Had an open-ish area, but it was definitely leading you in one direction. Like, there was a bunch of the zombies, like, around in an area, and you couldn't fight them all off, so it kind of wanted you to kind of sneak away to the side.
Gotcha. Did they remove... I'm assuming they removed the...
Yes.
What do they call the bars?
I don't know. The letterboxing?
What's the technical term? Yes, letterboxing. I hate that shit, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm glad
it's
gone.
And it's
it
good.
Good.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Yeah. And
this
so
this probably would have been my game of show had I come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. And towards the end of the demo, you get a lot of that, like, mindfuckery stuff, you know, where you're like teleporting all over the place and
the weird transitions.
Yeah.
Dude, oh my god.
Yeah.
There are so many transitions in Evil Within 1. Do you remember the one where he, like, jumps? I forgot where he's jumping or what. He jumps and the camera spins, and then all of a sudden, like, you think he's falling, and then the camera pans, and then all of a sudden he's rolling along the bottom of a train or something. And it's like,
I don't remember that one. But,
oh my god!
I think there's one where you basically walk into a door in this demo where you walk into a door. There's a mirror on the other side of the room. You walk up to the mirror, and then you notice that there's a person behind you. And of course, your natural reaction is to turn around, right? And this is all in the game. This isn't a cutscene.
Yeah.
So your natural reaction is to turn around. And so you turn around, there's nothing there, right? And then you turn back around, the mirror's gone. And then you see a person, like, put his hand on your shoulder, and that's when it transitions to a cutscene, you know?
Oh, that's
so, cool. Yeah. And so,
that's
like, yeah. It's definitely worth it. I mean, it was creepy. They had this, like, booth where you were basically, like, in a little house, you know?
Yeah.
And the booth was completely dark, except for the computer monitors, right? So they were trying to get you in the atmosphere. So, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, no, I'm super. That's coming out soon, too. That's, like...
Yep. It's October.
It's October 13th. It's,
yep.
like, two or three weeks away.
Yep.
I'm excited.
Yep. And then the next game I played was Wolfenstein. Now, this was cool just for presentation value. They had a full on, they had it like, not a full on, but it was basically looked like a diner.
It was the diner booth.
Yeah.
They had that ingredient.
Oh, yeah. They had that E3 too. I just didn't know.
All the stations were like at the bar, at the diner.
Did you get a milkshake there?
No.
Because what? They gave us milkshakes.
We couldn't even get into it because it was like a 5-hour line.
You know, I bet the 5-hour line was because they were probably giving milkshakes away.
Yeah, probably. But
those motherfuckers.
Basically, you played the demo and you got a free milkshake. And you got a nice cup.
Damn, what flavor? Right.
Hold on, strawberry.
Yeah, that's
what flavor? Was it freedom?
Strawberry.
Yeah, it was strawberry. So here's the cup that they gave me. It says Papa Joe's Diner. And on the back it says Wolfenstein 2. And it's a nice cup. I mean, look how big it is.
Look at Ed getting that cool swag.
Look at my face.
I didn't even get some cool swag. I didn't even get enough cool swag at E3. That's better than anything I got at E3 this year. Fuck.
So the demo that you play is kind of at the beginning of the game but you're basically like in a wheelchair for the majority of the game.
Majority
of the level, and you're like rolling down the stairs, and you actually can't. You can go down the stairs but not up, which is like kind of cool. But I haven't played the first Wolfenstein. I'll preface this by saying that.
Wait, you haven't played the new one?
Yeah, no, I haven't played it yet. I will say that the humor in this game is like on point, right? There's this one section where there's like a zapper kind of thing where anyone that goes through it gets electrocuted and like dies basically. And you're on one, you get on one side of it because the one of your allies like turns it off, and you get on one side of it, and then you're in the room where the guy has the controls, and he's like talking to you, and you see in the background all these guys like come through in streams of like two like getting zapped, and then you see like one guy, he's like, okay, I think I can get past as long as I tiptoe. So he full on like gets on his tiptoes, and he like tiptoes through it like this, you know? And as soon as he walks into the area where, of course, it goes off, it like zaps him, you know? So like
he just gets eviscerated.
Yeah, basically. So is that humor prevalent in the first game? Okay, yeah.
I mean,
so,
I don't know if anything quite as slapsticky as that. I don't know if that's slap.
It goes back and forth between like full on dystopian. Myopic Nazi bullshit to like fuck the moon.
there's
Nazis on the moon.
It's a little bit of like you gotta suspend your disbelief a little bit as far as the humor is involved, but I really think it's worth it.
No, don't suspend your disbelief. That is intentional. It's perfect.
You're right. That is the universe that this game is in, and there's no way you can tell me that that's not real.
You absolutely should play the New Order.
Okay. I'll play it.
I mean, it's like, it's, you know, it's kind of
maybe.
It's not that much of a commitment. It's like,
you have time.
It's like 10 to 12 hours, probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe. Cool.
You gotta press A to pick up ammo, though. It kind of sucks.
Oh, nice.
2 out of 10.
2 out of 10.
Do you still have to press buttons to pick up ammo in this?
I could not tell. I cannot remember. A detail that I remember.
That you latched onto. I like how as soon as he tried to move on, and then I hit the button, I changed it, and he hit the button and went back. That was good.
I mean, it's easy. That's what proper setup and configuration does, Nick.
Yeah, I'm actually...
yeah, Chris Davis.
Oh,
he isn't here to defend himself.
I worked on this for like 2 hours last night after Katie went to bed, so... So the next thing I played was just real quick. I'll touch on it real quick. We played Dishonored 2, Death of the Outsider. You've played 2. So I just want to touch it real quick. Powers seem cool.
Yeah, touch it.
The world is levels are very Dishonored. So not much to talk about there. I just like Dishonored. So I wanted to talk.
Yeah,
about it
quick. It's cool as hell. I think they continue to surprise me with the different ways they come up with. First of all, the different ways of stabbing people, the different like subsets of powers. Like I can't believe, I was like, oh my god, they thought of everything in Dishonored 2, and they've just completely found new ways. Like they keep what was it, Blink? You know, they keep upgrading Blink, and then
Blink
the second one it was what was it in Dishonored 2? Not Blink. It was
Grab, right? It was like an arm that you pulled pulled you to it.
Yeah,
or something
it was
like
a grappling hook almost.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then this one, you can blink essentially, but you have to have line of sight. And if you blink onto a person, you can. It's called displace. You
Telefrag?
Displace. You displace into them, and they fucking explode.
It's a telefrag. That's so
yeah,
awesome.
It's a telefrag. It's fantastic. Fucking and like everything they've done so far, like you can steal people's faces and walk and use them to like walk
oh
into
my
like.
God, of course you fucking can. I hate you, Game of Thrones. Anyway,
oh,
is the blink kill stealthy, or is it like loud as fuck?
Oh, it's fucking loud as hell. Like yeah. People literally explode.
Oh, you blow them up and stuff. It's not that sneaky.
Yeah. No, not at all. But it's hard to resist. I found that out. Mm-hmm. Like even if you're trying to be stealthy, it's kind of like I'll tell you. I'm going to be talking about this in the podcast this week, so I won't go into it too much here. But they have made some pretty significant changes to the way Dishonored plays, and like. Some pretty significant shifts in just your mantra as far as how you play this game. So
stealing people's faces.
I'll talk about it. Yeah, you totally. It's not like you cut their faces off. It's not like Aria or anything. But you come behind them, you grab them by the back of the head, and you do this.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, yeah. The little
do
like
you keep a little. Yeah. Do you keep a little bag of faces?
No, but whenever when you're moving around, you can see him hold. The face in his hand, but mm-hmm. like as long as you're holding it, people looking at you see that person.
Yeah, yeah.
So you
that's kind of cool.
It's pretty cool. But like the person, I'm pretty sure the person when you steal their faces, they
Nick,
die. I think
Nick.
Yes,
you've talked way too much about this game.
I know.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's
move
on.
It's
so
like Portal.
Yeah. So I don't know if
yeah,
you guys know this about
this?
Me, but I really like first person puzzlers. Talos Principle is one of my favorite games ever.
Sure.
You know,
it's fantastic.
So when I was in a real big kick, I played Cube and then I played Antichamber like back to back. So Cube is another first person puzzler where you basically get like different abilities based on like what color you use. The first game was very simple, very little story or anything like that. This one has a little bit extra story or whatever, but really it's just the puzzles that really matter. So you have your blue ability allows you to like basically shoot yourself in a different direction, right? Red allows you to like create blocks, and then green does something else that I cannot remember. So anyway. I really liked the first Cube. It was fun. It was actually some of the puzzles got to be pretty hard. So this demo that I got wasn't like super super hard, but a couple parts were kind of tricky towards the end.
Enough
especially.
To whet your appetite, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looks cool.
Yeah,
it definitely looks very portally.
Yeah,
the first game looked like this.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. And it's pretty, right? I mean,
yeah,
it got a nice color scheme and setup going on, but it's very Portal where you have like different rooms that you go between.
Yeah, it reminds me of Crispy. What was that other game we played? No, the one.
Oh,
that was last year.
Oh, Portal 2.
Yeah. God damn it! No, the other one.
Last
year. The one where you have the gun.
It was on the Xbox, right?
Yeah. Fuck, I played it.
Crap, I have it. I could probably go look it up in my...
This is very telling of like how much I like that game. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I liked it.
Oh, well,
it ain't
that's horrible. Gone. Anyway, so that's Cube. It was fun.
Not Talos Principle. That game is beyond genius.
Then what the fuck are you talking about? You're not talking about the magnet one, are you?
No, it wasn't the magnet one.
Fuck, come on. It's like, you shoot... Yeah, Turing test. Thank
yeah,
you.
Turing
it's
test.
Not
yeah,
Turing test. I didn't.
Turing test.
Yeah,
you
this
played
is,
it.
This is actually kind of Turing test too, where like you have a AI that talks to you.
I mean, it's kind of like I brought it up. It looks similar. It's
yeah.
Portal. It's Portal-esque, but like not quite Portal.
Yeah.
And you know.
So yeah, that's Cube 2. If I'd recommend playing the director's cut and then playing this when it comes out. It was fun.
Cool. Sweet.
So Sea of Thieves was the next game that we played.
Damn.
Okay, I gotta say,
how'd that go?
this game is really cool, guys. Like, really, really cool.
I didn't want to hear this.
I know. So I'll just go ahead and tell you my most, but the best part about playing this game. I was the person at the wheel, right? And so I was steering the ship. When all the sails are down, the person steering the ship can't see at all. So I ran into an island.
You ran into an island?
It was a small island. It was one of the smaller islands. So what happened was a hole was in the boat. And so all my crewmates had to like... No, I'm not kidding. There was a hole in the boat. All my crewmates had to go down to the bottom and basically like take planks and nail in planks to stop the water from coming in.
That's cool. So we didn't sink.
Yeah.
Like damage the ship?
It damaged the ship, yeah. And so like... And the whole point of the demo was to like get the treasure and bring it back to the bank, right? So the treasure chest that we picked up was cursed, so you were always drunk when you had it. And so you were never going in a straight line, which also goes to go with when you're swimming, because you swim with the treasure chest, you were never swimming in a straight line. So the guy was like the guy was like didn't know how to, because he couldn't see, right? It was all like blurry, and so he's like, "I don't know where to go. Can someone help me?"
And this was a stranger you were playing.
Yeah, complete stranger. I mean, I had a friend that was on my team that played with me, but the other two people that were on my ship were strangers. But it was just cool. Like after I ran into the island the first time, I kept like reminding them, "It's like you need to tell me where I need to steer because." I don't know. I can't see where I'm going.
Did this? First of all, I don't know. Did you play Black Flag?
Yeah, yeah. Black Flag.
Did this give you any of those same vibes?
Very much so. I mean, in Black Flag, you were zoomed out more, so you could see where you're steering. You know, because you didn't. Yeah. It wasn't the multiplayer aspect.
Oh, third person too.
Exactly.
Because one person doing everything.
Yeah. So, it's even more than that. Like you have to turn the sails. Like someone has to turn the sails
to catch
the wind. Someone has to like raise and lower the sails. I mean, you can do multiple jobs at the same time. But in like, there's an anchor, and if multiple people are all on the anchor at the same time, it raises faster. Stuff like that.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's cool. And there's a little bit of sword play too.
Did they give you any sense of like the larger infrastructure of the game, like what? I mean, this seems to be very much multiplayer driven.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
Is there no single player option? Is there like, I mean, like?
I mean, if
like,
there
is there matchmaking? Like, if
yeah,
if
hope there
buy
is.
This game,
they didn't really tell me much.
I think if there is one, they're keeping it secret.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Now here's the thought. This is PCs too, right?
I think so.
That's kind of a dumb question. Mm-hmm. But like, I think this would be fun to play, like as a group. I mean,
oh yeah.
I was thinking. I was like, oh my god, what if we did like a four player crew on a ship? That'd be so much fun. But I was like, what? Nobody here has Xboxes. And I was like, wait a second.
No, this is on PC. One cool thing that I will mention real quick is towards the end, we like dropped off the treasure chest, so we were like in the lead, quote unquote. And so there was another ship that was the other people playing the game, and we saw them in the distance, and they were like, at first we thought they were coming after us, but, they kind of went off their own way. And so after we dropped off the treasure chest, we went back and found them. And so there was a guy, one of our teammates was up on top of the crow's nest and was like looking through the telescope, looking for them. And then we found them, and then we went full speed to go catch up to them, and then we got into a fight with them, basically. And we got into a fight by ramming into their ship. And once we rammed into their ship, we like got on the you can get into a cannon and then shoot yourself, right? So we got in the cannon, shot ourselves across, like fought the battle, and then because their ship
is clear, that would kill a human being.
Yeah, right? No, it was fine.
Nicholas.
Yes.
And so when one of our guys was over on the other ship, and he was fighting, and then the ship started to go down. And so when the ship went down, he basically died, because I guess if the ship goes down and you go down with it, you die. I didn't really get that part, but he died, and then he like respawned. But since everyone respawned basically right where they were, they all the enemies just swam to our ship and started taking it over.
I hope this game turns out well.
Yes,
yeah. It sounds and looks cool. What's attracting this to me is like the prospect of playing specifically with people I know.
Right.
If it's easy to put together a group, that would be cool.
And that's what I said. When we left the demo, I was like, that game would be really, really cool with friends.
Yeah, I think I feel like this would be awesome for the stream, assuming it turns out well.
Yeah,
if this reviews well and people are enjoying the shit out of it, like, this would be great for the stream.
I think when the game comes out, I think this is a great contender for a community night. Assuming enough people have it, you know. But just the idea of sailing, and it's highlight bait, right? I mean, just me running into an island because I couldn't see anything, you know.
Right.
It's an island. How did you not miss the island? It's huge.
It was funny. One of the smaller islands, like I said.
It was really just a rock sticking out of the water.
I mean, kind of. But there was one point where it was right after I hit the island. There was two rocks that were like coming out of the water, and I wanted to like thread the needle between them, right? And so I was like, I'm gonna thread the needle, and they're like, no, don't do it, you'll hit another island.
Oh, no. And you're like, fuck you, it's just a demo, I'm gonna do it.
And so I did it, and I threaded that needle so hard, it was great.
See, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Shit,
I hope this is next year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, cool. Sea of Thieves, yay.
What else you got?
So the next game I played was a small indie game called Arrowheads. If you guys ever played Towerfall, and it's kind of a party game with bows and arrows, right? The only difference is you actually have to like aim and shoot. You got to pull back your bow essentially.
I love the feel of games that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just like Towerfall. There's not a lot of depth as far as like a story or anything like that, but there are different maps, and different maps have different advantages and disadvantages and environment stuff and things like that.
Piop says it looks chaotic, which I agree with, but
very chaotic. But once you get like kind of the feel for it, you'd be surprised how well you can kind of survive. I played with three other friends, and I was in the lead for a while, and then it was kind of a toss up of who would win, and then I ended up winning. But it was a lot of fun. I mean,
if the main combat mechanic is pulling back your bowstring and trying to like get the hang of like how arching your arrow, right?
Yep.
Is that kind of what you're doing?
Yep.
You're getting the hang of that could be fun.
Yep, and it was cool. Definitely
Arrowheads.
Worth it. Arrowheads. Ooh. Yep, and it's available now. So the next game that we played was called No Heroes Here. You guys have both at least heard of Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, right?
Of course.
So this game is very much like that, except it's more medieval, where you have to like basically
defend a castle,
and you're running between like crafting cannonballs, and you actually there's one extra thing that they showed us where you basically craft honey, and the honey like reduces their speed because it's all sticky, right? So it's tower defense, castle, but you're basically like running up and down and always behind, basically trying to, whether it's craft cannonballs, get enough cannons to kill the enemies that are attacking you, stuff like that. So, I thought it was cool. It was one of the packs 10. It was fun. It was fun.
Cool. Yeah. It looks cool.
Looks pretty straightforward. But yep. Fun.
Next game I played was from 11-Bit Studios, which is This War of Mine, in case you guys didn't know. This game is... I didn't have the sound on. My bad.
God. And you build out from...
Yeah, you build out from there. And so the thing about the generator is that that's your only source of heat, because the entire world has frozen over. And it's like negative 20 degrees outside during the day, and at night it's like negative 40. Right? Mm. This is Celsius too, just to make that clear.
Oh wow.
So it's pretty cold, right? And so you're basically like, it's resource management.
Worse.
Yeah. It's resource management, and you are, you always get requests from people. I think this was part of This War Is Mine, right? Where you get like requests from people about like what you think, what they think you should do. And you can either be like, I will do that in 2 days. Or you can be like, you know what? That might take 5 days. And then if you do it in 2 days, then you get like extra bonuses. But if you fail that, then you get like extra detriments to that, right?
Yeah.
So here's one of the things where like it says like it's a quest and you say like, let's try to sort this out, or we can do even better and then solve all the problems in a couple of days. And like, but if you fail that, obviously all your meters will start to go down until you eventually die. One thing I will say about this game,
sounds stressful, like XCOM.
It's stressful. It is, you're always, I felt like I was behind the entire time, right? And there was a jerk kid that was behind me while I was in the demo, because it was like coming up on the end of the night, when the show floor was closing. He just goes, can you just die already? I want to play this game. Can you just die? And I was like, dude, kid, shut up.
And you flicked him off.
You little fucking bitch.
Yeah. And so it looks like there's a little bit of exploration, just a little bit, where like you basically send out scouts. And I never got to the point where I could do that because I wasn't good enough for this game.
To die, yes.
Yeah, basically. I mean, you die. Send them out and you like find other generators and you can like basically recruit them into yours and stuff like that.
It's one of those metaphorical scouting parties. Yeah. You know, we team of quote-unquote scouts out to forage.
We don't have enough resources.
The name of this game is Frostpunk.
Frostpunk, yep.
Frostpunk. Mm-hmm. Snowpiercer, but not on rails.
Right, exactly. I get that joke. Frostpunk, This War of Mine developers, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And it was a lot of fun. And they gave me the coolest little USB thing with all the press stuff in it. It was like a little wooden box, and I opened it, and it was like a wooden cased USB thing that said Frostpunk on it. It was so cool.
Don't let those snazzy thumb drives fool you. Once you're done with it, they'll sway you.
They're like, yeah, they're not even like a gig.
You can't even reformat them half the time.
I don't care. It looks cool. Like, look, it's all wooden, and it like opens up, and it's all USB. It's so cool. I like it.
It'd be great for porn, but you can't reformat it.
I don't even want to know what you're doing with a flash drive of porn, Nick.
Wait, y'all don't do that?
What the heck happened?
I didn't mute all these videos before I loaded them. Sorry. So the next game I played was called Figment. It's a little isometric platformer kind of thing. Very, very Bastion.
Looks very whimsical.
And very whimsical. It's supposed to be like you're in a brain, essentially, in like someone's subconscious mind. And one of the coolest things about this game is they, like, all the bosses sing to you as you fight them. And they all sing, like, little jingles, you know? And they're all dancing while you do it. And it's just...
Are these the kind of jingles that get stuck in your head?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
This game.
So the guy, that there's a spider boss that you fought that basically, like, talks how you... basically, how she could be anywhere in your room and you won't know it. You know?
Oh, fuck her.
Yeah. So, and then there's one about that throws like poison gas, and it's supposed to like be like the poison of the mind kind of thing. And basically that whole level is you using windmills to blow away the poison gas so you can go and like go to different areas. There are some pretty complicated puzzles and stuff like that.
It's very cool looking.
Yeah.
Very unique visual style.
Yep.
It also looks good. It looks kind of like he goes back and forth between being like Dr. Seuss and Bastion.
Uh huh. Very much so. Very much so. And like I said, it all takes place in this kid's, this like adult's
and
mind.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland.
So this guy, apparently the character that you play is like the subconscious like courage of the person that you're playing.
Yeah.
And so, like, he basically, the guy grew up to be an accountant, so he doesn't really need his courage anymore. So the guy's, like, super old and crotchety and, like, doesn't want to do anything, you know? But, yeah, completely voice acted, good music, good, like, ambient sound and stuff like that.
And it looks like another indie game coming to Switch.
Yeah. And
worth pointing out.
I don't know if Switch is yet, but
it showed it on the promotional stuff you're showing, it showed the Switch logo, so
okay. But I will say that it definitely comes out on Steam in 3 days. So on Friday.
Well, son of a bitch.
Yeah, so...
I mean, I don't have anything to play.
Yeah, so this game is really cool. I think I might buy it just to support the developer. The developer was, like, pouring his heart out for anyone that, like, really liked it. So
come by and... Yeah, no.
Yeah.
They always
do. Really cool.
Yeah. The next game I walked over to was called The Church in the Darkness. This game is like a roguelike.
Is that Africa?
It's South America.
Oh. I knew that.
Yeah.
I totally knew that.
Yeah. So the game is a roguelike where you basically are trying to infiltrate this like camp of religious nut jobs, basically. Like this cult, basically. And you're trying to rescue, I'm not sure if it's like your daughter or like your wife or something like that. I didn't quite
one of those.
One of those things. A significant other of some stature, right?
Yeah.
And so basically at the start, like you can basically like choke out and kill anyone, pick up bodies and stuff like that. Very Dishonored, like as far as like you pick up bodies to hide them and things like that. At the beginning, like they don't really recognize, they kind of, if it's a guard, they'll like try to shoot you, but at, like other people that is kind of like, as long as you don't get too close, they're fine. And then as you progress, you basically get different outfits and stuff like that that allow you to disguise yourself as higher people.
So this is straight up like a stealth action top down game.
Yeah,
you're not trying to infiltrate this by like trying to integrate. You're literally stealthing your way into
yeah.
the place.
And you have like a certain goal. Your first goal is to find the preacher who's kind of in charge of the cult. So you can like interact with him. And so that's your very first goal. And then you basically just stealth your way through this yeah. camp.
Oh, look, a macaw just flew.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So it's cool. It was, kind of simple. I mean, I got caught and then got thrown into the river, so that was a thing. So yeah, it's fun. Definitely.
The Church in the Darkness.
The Church in the Darkness. Definitely a fun game to check out.
Cool.
Then the next game that I played is called Sinner.
Yeah, this one's made for me.
This game is really, really cool. It takes so much from Dark Souls. As far as like
first image I saw, I was like Dark Souls.
Yeah, it looks like Dark Souls. It actually kind of reminds me of what was the game that was on PS4, Salt and Sanctuary, right?
Oh yeah.
Where like the character looks kind of like a Salt and Sanctuary character. He's kind of like you can kind of see him in the footage, but the idea of this game is you fight 8 bosses total. It's a boss rush. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So no exploration or anything like that. But as you go to fight an enemy or a boss, you have to sacrifice like one of your stats, essentially.
Oh shit!
And so
it's permanently sacrificed.
Yes, it's permanently sacrificed.
So it's like,
for that,
so you
save
have to like do them in the right order to like pick the right stats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping there's not like one right answer though.
Yeah,
I'm
no, I mean,
it's just, like,
I think
it makes it hard for
it's
you
very
to
skill. It's this game is very skill based. So if you feel that you are like more melee focused, maybe that's the last skill that you sacrifice. But the idea is that you have 7 skills to sacrifice, or actually I think it's 8. So you have 8 to sacrifice, and you have 7 deadly sins, and then the final boss.
So do you only have 8 stats starting out, or is it like you have 16 and you have to sacrifice 8 of them?
I'm not sure. I didn't get to the point where I was actually like sacrificing the stats. I just kind of like fought a boss
yeah.
or two. But the way it sounded like is like you basically are naked and
how
have like
they have, yeah. How could a game that is just fighting 8 bosses have 16 different stats?
Yeah,
yeah, I guess.
So the way the guy described it to me is by the time I got to the last boss, I would basically be completely naked and no one would like and the final boss would like hit like a truck, right?
But like the idea would be that by that time you're so well versed in its combat system
yeah.
that shouldn't be as big of a
right.
problem.
Right. Right.
If they've designed their combat system well enough.
I'd say they did. The boss that I was fighting It got to a point where I just couldn't get into close range, so I just used my like ranged weapon, and the ranged weapon was really good. I mean, it's a spear, so you basically pulled it on through it. Rolls are good. I think that's one of the things that you sacrifice is like you're not able to roll as much before your stamina has to refill and stuff like that. So yeah, it was cool.
That's cool. I bet that'll be a challenge, like one of those games that gets like that attracts the attention of people like really like challenge.
Yep, for sure. Okay, and then the next game that I played is called Fort Triumph, and let me hit play on this real quick so you can kind of see what the so this is Fantasy XCOM.
So we've got XCOM, we've got Mario XCOM,
Yeah, so this game is actually one of the cooler games that I played for a couple reasons. This is not just Fantasy XCOM. It is Fantasy XCOM with a physics engine. And so they basically, you have extra abilities that allow you to like kick things into enemies and they take damage. You can, they have like a fire engine. So if you, not an actual fire engine, but like an engine for fire,
fire truck.
So you can set an enemy on fire and the fire will spread to neighboring houses.
Oh, cool.
And so let me see if I can find a spot where.
So it's kind of like the moves you're making on the XCOM battlefield aren't necessarily like the effects aren't limited to what happens immediately with your selection. Like things can continue to your selection, your decisions can continue to affect the battlefield.
Yeah, exactly. And so you'll see here I'm about to go up to this log pile and kick it into the enemy.
Is this footage of you actually playing?
Yeah, I'm actually playing this. So basically, it's completely physics-driven, and it's really cool. I mean, just the different abilities that you get and stuff like that. You have Overwatch abilities, as usual, stuff like that. And I might fast-forward it a little bit just so you can see the fire that happens.
I like fire.
But, yeah, so here is me setting this barrel afire, and it sets the tree next to it afire, and on the next turn, it actually set the house next to it, as you can see there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Also a fire.
So,
yeah. Cool.
So it's cool, and it's kind of the idea of a fantasy tactics like XCOM game is it might not be like super unique, but just adding the physics engine on top is pretty unique, I'd say.
Yeah.
And you can also like the archer has like an ability where you can like pull enemies closer to you. And you can do that, like, doubly. So, like, I basically hit an enemy that was behind another one and pulled them into each other, and they damaged each other.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, this game is fun. I really like the amount that I play with it. I think it's coming out, like, 2018 or something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was fun. And you,
one
it's
thing's for certain, we've realized people like XCOM.
Yeah, they gave me this this like download of the game to record and show here. And they wanted me to make sure it said that this is like pre-alpha footage and all that stuff. But you can like go to their website and like purchase access to their beta because it was a Kickstarter. And so if you didn't get into the Kickstarter, which I didn't, you can go to their store and kind of access the beta and access their beta forums and stuff like that. Yep. So it was cool. Definitely worth it, I think. So, next one, Biomutant.
Is this game? What's the word? I was a little uncertain about this after I saw the actual gameplay footage, but that cinematic trailer looked cool.
I will say, this game.
We're talking about Biomutant.
Yeah, this game is really cool. I'll talk about the combat real quick. So. The combat is very like Mad Max or Batman-y even, where you have use lots of different buttons to kind of do different things. So as you kind of pick up on those things, but you can also like juggle people up in the air and stuff like that. So the combat is solid in my opinion. The thing that's kind of cool is you get different like mutations, and the mutations seem to be like you have to explore the world in order to get these mutations. You get a couple, like, as you go through story missions and stuff like that, but I think if you really want to full-on experience everything, you have to, like, full-on, like, explore the world and kind of get all those different things.
By the way, Crispy just had to duck out. He let us know, okay. Anyways, I'm still here with you, Ed.
Okay, cool. I'm going to try to, make your face show up. There you go.
I hope that game turns out. That cinematic trailer looked so cool, and then I saw the gameplay, and I was kind of lukewarm on it. I don't know. I think it has potential. We'll see. I think the cool thing is, like, isn't the whole thing kind of built around this idea of, like, being able to, like, mutate yourself?
Mm-hmm.
By, like,
yeah. So you basically, like, as you walk around the environment, you get you run into, like, mushrooms essentially that kind of like put out spores, and when you run into them, you kind of mutate. And he said that, like, you get to choose your mutations, but for the demo purposes, they kind of gave you the four that they thought was the coolest, or at least the ones that they had done so far.
Sure.
So I think we should keep watching it at least, and like keep an eye on it. I really liked it. The part that I played, I thought the combat was solid.
This is developed by people who worked on at Avalanche, right?
Yep.
People who worked on Mad Max and Just Cause.
Yep. So the Mad Max like combat that they seemed to nail in that game, I think.
Did you play Mad Max?
No.
Oh, but I played Mad Max.
I played like a little bit of it, like that much maybe.
I think Mad Max is like one of the underrated games in the past few years.
Yeah. What I liked about it is you get like different weapons, and you can either choose to be like dual wielding or big two hand, and you get a long range rifle, a bow, and so there's a lot of customization. Which I think is kind of inherent by the way they want to do it.
Yeah, and that'll be layered on top of all those crazy mutations you can implement and stuff. So
yeah,
that'll be cool. We'll see. It's supposed to be open world too, right?
Yep, completely open world. The part that they showed me was very linear because it was kind of like the intro of the game or whatever. Yeah. But as soon as I walked out, I mean, you can kind of see this in the screenshots that. World is incredibly detailed and beautiful, and it's not like just bland overworld and stuff like that.
I just hope they fill it with stuff that's fun to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I don't know how contextual it is, but you can see in the screenshots and in the movie that you can like ride boats and ride a little mechs, and there's like a metal hand that you can like shoot like the finger guns kind of thing or whatever. So it was cool.
I've got my eyes firmly planted on it.
Yep.
We'll see what happens.
Yep, for sure. Okay.
All right, we're back.
Cool. So, sorry about that. I have like 20 video files loaded in OBS at the same time. So, we're back.
It's amazing. It's actually quite amazing. It made it this far.
Yeah, exactly. I really expected it to crash way earlier. So two more games I just want to touch on real quick. I played this game called Elex. It's by, it's in the published by THQ Nordic, just like Biomutant is, except it comes out in like October. And the reason why I stress that it comes out in October is because this game is still rough.
It's what?
Rough. Like, rough.
I think it's tougher.
So
the
last.
Fuck is a jetpack?
Yeah, it's a jetpack. So
last year. Like Elder Scrolls with a jetpack?
Yes. So last year, I played this game. And I was like, this is a great concept. It's sci-fi fantasy, you know. There's jetpacks, there's guns, there's axes and swords and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is so cool. But I hope they can get the controls down better. And they didn't get the controls down better.
That sucks. I wonder if you could remap.
It's not that. It's not even a remapping issue. The handling. I felt like I was always gonna die, and maybe that was because I wasn't powered up enough. But I fought like so many different creatures, and I couldn't get a handle of the combat. So I think this might be a cool game to buy at like maybe $20. It is a Piranha Bytes game, Deputy Dangle. So yeah, it feels very Risen, where it's like technically kind of hard to play or whatever.
Oh, did Piranha Bytes do Risen and Gothic?
Wait, did I just do that backwards? Yeah, I think so.
Those are all This actually reminds me a lot of when I see footage of like those kinds of Western like, RPGs.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I think that RPGs like this like don't really exist anymore. You know?
Oh yeah, at least we haven't seen many of them.
Yeah, so that's why I was excited for it. Because I there was a game that I played when I was younger called Dungeon Lords.
Yeah.
And that game was felt like this a lot. The combat was a little bit smoother. But very much like this, where it's just kind of like you're in this fantasy world that's completely new and a completely different new world with new lore and all that stuff. But like you don't, then there's no like three IPs that you have to play beforehand to kind of get the idea. But as far as the game itself, the game is very Elder Scrolls-y, where you can kill an NPC, and if that was an NPC for a quest, shrug. You know, stuff like that. So, you know, and you can kill anyone and anything. You run up the very first thing that happens when you start the demo is these like guards come down to kind of like help you out with attacking this enemy. And I, some would say accidentally, but I would say purposefully, swung my sword and attacked the guard. And then he started attacking me and he chased me like down, basically. He would not let me go. And then I came upon this has a jetpack.
I know, just like Han Solo.
Yeah.
Flying towards your offspring.
I came upon this like farmer and I killed all his farmhands. And the farmer got really mad at me for a little bit, and then I ran away, and then he like rubber banded back to his position.
That's because it sounds like you're an incredible bastard in these games.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Like I said, it was a demo, so it's fine.
So it was
fun. I would say that if you're okay with giving the like cluttered feeling that you feel doing the combat a chance, I would say go for it, because I think the rest of the game here is really strong.
Yeah, it's rough. It's just it doesn't necessarily mean it's not worth playing.
Yep, for sure. So yeah, and then the last game that I played was Ashes of Creation. It's a Kickstarter MMO where, as you complete quests, you basically build the world around you. In a way. Oh, I'm sorry. Right click on there you go.
I'm here.
audio. Damn it. All right, I'll try better next time.
you're good.
So you basically, like, as you complete quests, you can build the world around you. So your like server that you play on is not like stateless in a way that like you basically have no effect on anything like you do in WoW. But like you basically complete that first quest, you walk back to the city, and because you have gathered the mushrooms that you need to feed the city, it basically grows, you know, into a big city. So it was fun. The combat was kind of interesting. The thing about WoW combat is you basically press a button and it does something. And parts of this game is like reactive, so you have a little bar. It's kind of like Gears of War, where you have a little bar that if you press the button again, you get like
it's timing based.
Yeah, timing based. So the trick with that is in MMOs, a lot of times they like to put things on the ground. And you have to like move out of them, and if your fingers are using your buttons and trying to, your eyes are channeled on the timer, then you could die from like standing in something bad or whatever. So anyway, the game, what I saw was cool. I think if you're into MMOs in a way, then I think it's worth a shot giving it a try.
What's the big MMO these days, Ed?
WoW is still the biggest, but Star Wars has
What are the youngsters playing?
The youngsters are playing Dota and League of Legends.
Sons of bitches.
Mostly. They're not really playing MMOs anymore. But yeah. It's fun.
Alright. Ashes of Creation.
Ashes of Creation. And that was the last thing. That was the second to last thing that I played. The last thing that I played was there you are, Nick again. Being all messed up.
I'm here.
The very last thing I played was a game called West of Loathing, which I think George has played on the feed.
Yeah.
That game is a lot of fun as far as like humor. It's funny. Uh-huh. If you've ever played Kingdom of Loathing, which is an old Flash game that was like kind of an early like MMO kind of thing. Persistent World. if you think it's like a Western where there's like lots of humor and cleverly written and things like that, and it's $11 on Steam. So okay. I think it's worth it. It's coming out to iOS soon, they said. So I think it probably works really well on like an iPad or something like that versus like a PC, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't have any screenshots. I wish I'd gotten some, but it's black and white stick figures. Kind of a cool concept. Cool. And cool game.
What's it called?
West of Loathing.
West of Loathing. Yep. Cool. Well, Ed, I got to say thank you for going to PAX.
Yeah, no problem. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for sending me out there. And
no, yeah, of course. I'm sorry more of us couldn't go this year. It was just kind of a crazy year.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll be back to it sooner or later. But yeah, thanks for taking the time to play all these things and talk to us about it. I do want to go, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, one of our upcoming Patreon goals is to get to a point where we're going to launch kind of like a monthly online bonus podcast like this, where we may actually do some drinking, kind of like good old days in cocktail time. You never know. Talk about more video games and whatever the fuck comes to our minds. But not until we hit that goal. But if you want to learn more about that, you can find us at patreon.com/4player. You can, of course, download our weekly podcast, playernetwork.com. That is, of course, it's called 4player. Podcast if you're and yeah, that's it. Crispy had to duck out a little bit early, but of course thank you, Crispy, for being here for the show, and we'll be doing this again soon, I hope. Ed?
Yep.
It was fun. It was a lot of fucking cool video games coming
out.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm Evil Within. Looks good.
I'm pretty sure I'm gonna call in sick to work on the 27th of October.
The 27th. That's,
or maybe not calling sick. I might just take a vacation day. You know what I mean.
27th. That's Mario Odyssey, that's Assassin's Creed Origins, and Wolfenstein.
Yep.
Yep.
All on the same day.
Sounds like fun.
I'm gonna need a weekend. I'm just gonna need a solid weekend to just, you know, lock myself in my room. You know what I mean.
Game of show. Anyways. Game of show. By the way, for me was Figment. Uh-huh. Figment.
Figment. Yeah. Yep. I mean, that does look. That's the one that looks a lot like. Oh, look at you. That's the one that looks a lot like. Now that I think about it, it reminds me more of like Alice in
Wonderland. Yep, very Alice in Wonderland. Yep.
Cool.
It comes out in 3 days, so definitely definitely worth the money. It had a pretty big world, so.
There's so many fucking games this year, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
All right. Well, of course, thank you, Ed. We'll be doing this again soon. Thank you guys for watching us live while we do this.
Hope you guys enjoyed the format and everything like that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll be seeing more of this in the future, so. Anyways, thank you for listening/watching. Thank you for your support on Patreon. Thank you for supporting us. We appreciate it. And that's it. That's all we have for tonight, guys.
Chris Davis will be back on at 8 o'clock streaming things. Right. So, yeah, that's it.